Can we turn, please, to Nehemiah chapter 9? Would you not agree with me that what is such a wonderful, great blessing to have a compassionate God? A compassionate God who, as we read, does not abandon his people. That we can be absolutely sure, as believers, that he will not set us adrift. That he will keep us firm to the end. And what a blessing that is. And these verses that I read earlier from Nehemiah chapter 9, 16 to 21, they reveal a great contrast between the ungrateful people of God, on one hand, and the compassion and benevolence of the Lord, on the other. And this preacher that Nehemiah is recording here is not a man who minces his words. They and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks, and did not heed your commandments. Notice there's no flattery, no flannel. Straightforward preaching there in verses 16 and also, of course, in verse 17. And hey, we need for the pray for this today. I found it quite interesting listening the other day to the Bishop of York and his comments about the BBC religion, which I would agree with. But I think the editorial, whatever you call it, in ET says that he should first of all get the plank out of his own eye before he starts washing the eyes of the Church of England generally. The BBC generally. Sadly, you could go to many, many churches today and just hear a load of flannel. No conviction. No, thus saith the Lord. Or anything like that. May that never, ever happen here. May we always be have, and even when they say things that may upset us, that we may not like, let's praise God for preachers that preach the word of God faithfully and fully, and not miss out the difficult bits and the hard bits. Now, the people of God had indulged in secret and open rebellion. They hardened, as it says there, they hardened their necks. Back in Deuteronomy and chapter 31 and verse 27, we read this. For I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. If today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord, then how much more after my death? And one verse from the Psalms, Psalm 106 and verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. And all the people did, all they accomplished, shall I say, in their disobedience All it did was bring hardship on themselves. No different today. People ignore the word of God and then wonder why things ever go wrong. But what's more important, that even what we do to ourselves through our disobedience is the injury and the indignity to the Lord our God. That is much, much more serious. They sinned presumptuously in contempt of God, in refusing to submit their wills to His. We too must be so very careful. One more thing just to say about verse 16. As it begins. But, how important is that word in Scripture? And it tells us here that they even had the nerve to appoint themselves a leader to take them back to Egypt, to take them back to bondage. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 14. And they will tell it, the inhabitants of this land, you have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, and that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day, and in a pillar by fire by night. And yet, it's not good enough. I fancy some cucumbers, and some garlic. I don't know why. Onions in Egypt. Oh yes, we're put up with the slavery, we're put up with the whipping, we're put up with the hard work. You think, oh, they're mad, aren't they? You'd think they were mad almost. They persisted in their rebellion, even to the extent of wanting to become slaves again. Sad today that people have experienced the grace of God so far, and yet then they go back into sin, back into bondage. Verse 17 is a verse for sinners, particularly the end. But you are a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. What a wonderful verse that is for sinners like you and me today. Because it can be so easy, isn't it, to be burdened by sin? Well, we should be. Think what our sin does to the holiness of God, to His feelings and so on. But we know that God is good. God is gracious, and God will pardon sinners. That's if they come His way through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to Him. And isn't it a wonderful thing to have discovered the wonderful compassion of God in Christ? And it goes on. Verse 18 tells us they even made a molded calf for themselves, worshipping a golden calf, where Moses is up the mountain, he's enjoying fellowship with the Lord and receiving the Ten Commandments. What was one of the commandments? Bowing down to idols. These people who had been taught to honour God's name were committing such awful blasphemy. In Exodus 32 and verse 4, and he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with engraving tool, and made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." And however, even in this extreme idolatry, the Lord did not desert his people. And verse 19 reveals the evidence that God did not forsake his people. "Yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness." And we read early, didn't we, about the pillar of cloud and the fire. Lord, the Lord God continued to guide them in their every need, in what was, of course, a very difficult environment. And the Lord continued to show his mercy, or his acts of mercy, one after the other. In Exodus 13, verse 21, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people." You see, what would happen if God had left them there in the wilderness? They would have been utterly and totally lost. The same as that when the people are not the Lord today. Whatever else they may have, wealth, fame, riches, religion, they're utterly lost. And despite their sins and their rebellion, the cloud and the fire did not depart. And it tells us there in verse 20, "You gave your good spirit to instruct them." The Lord sent the Spirit to guide them and to instruct them. And it was the Holy Spirit that equipped Moses to teach and lead the people of God. Numbers chapter 11. And verse 17. "Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the Spirit that is upon you, and will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone." And later on in the same chapter in verse 25, "Then the Lord came down in the cloud, and spoke to him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the Spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again." And in Psalm 143 and verse 10, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your Spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." It's like an anticipation, isn't it, of the New Testament. And talks about there the good spirit. And we read in Isaiah chapter 63, in verses 10 and 11, "But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, and Moses and the people, saying, Where is he who brought them out of the sea, with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them? The Spirit, you see, enabled Moses and the 70 elders to make wise decisions. We need the same today. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to make the right, wise decisions in every aspect of our lives, including our church lives as well. Our need today as believers is for the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us in the right path. As he, the Spirit of God, of course, continues the work of sanctification in each of God's children. And without him guiding us, leading us, instructing us, we would be in a great and fearful mess. The Lord is the God of amazing grace. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 4, it tells us how, in practical ways, that the Lord's grace worked out for the people of God then. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. And in chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. And finally, Deuteronomy 29 and verse 5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. For 40 years, the Lord sustained those people in the wilderness. Their clothing did not perish. When you think 40 years, I mean, I don't know, you got stuff in your wardrobe 40 years? I might have. Only because they never chuck anything out. I suppose you get favourite bits of clothing, don't you? But I'm certainly not wearing the same shoes I did 40 years ago. And probably neither of us are. And remember, when they travelled, it wasn't over the M1 or the M25. It was over rough, hard ground. It is a story, if you like, it is a catalogue of God's grace and God's goodness. It's also a story and a catalogue of the people's rebellion, their resistance, and their indifference, and their coolness to God. Look back in our own lives. And this is something that struck me, and I'm finishing off preparing this earlier this week. To meditate on how the Lord has led and guided us. To the very moment you're sat in the pew that you're sat in. Now you may not be able to remember too much from very early days. But there were times, weren't there? There weren't chance or anything like that. It was the Lord guiding and leading to this very moment. And that is despite our stubborn and sinful ways. How does the Lord put up with us? Because he loves us. We put up with one another because we love one another. But think how much the Lord loves us more. And when we look back, and when we consider and meditate, surely it must give us that confidence to go on. All of us are near glory. You think how far we've got so far. We don't give up now, do we? We carry on with his grace and his help and his guidance. With the confidence not in ourselves, but in him. Dear brothers and sisters, I say this to you, and as I say to myself, we look to the Lord. There's no other place to look for all that we need. And we look ahead surely to the day when he says, come home. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It'll be music in the ears, won't it? Music in the ears. But until then, we press on, trusting in him. Because as we know, when we walk with the Lord, in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, remember that, when we do his good will, he remains with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. Well, may the Lord help us. And let's sing that together, shall we?